Welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we're talking about real estate agent fees. Oh, this is a good one that people love to talk about because real estate fees are expensive because they're selling houses and it's an expensive business selling a lot of houses and it's hard getting listings.
You're dealing in a huge value asset and so you would expect that the cost would be pretty significant, and it is.
Well, let's go through what they are for a 500k property and a $1 million property, and then let's talk about whether it makes sense to go for a lower fee model provider and when it does. Now, let's start with the 500k property. Now, the cheapest way you could go would be going with a company called Sell Assist Real Estate, where actually they're not selling your property. They negotiate on your behalf and put the sale and purchase agreement together, but they're negotiating on your behalf and you're still selling privately. That's $6,000. Now, what's most interesting, though, is the variance between the major players. So of the major players, Mike Pero is actually the cheapest at about 3.6% total percentage. Now, the most expensive, or the top two most expensive, are Bailey's and Remax on this $500,000 property at 5.43% of your purchase price, or of that 500K, is going to go towards the real estate fees in that instance. And what's important to note is that each company will calculate it in a different way. So they might say it's 4% on the first 500,000 and it's 2% on the next amount. They all vary a little bit, but taking it all into account for a 500K property, the cheapest is going to be Mike Pero, followed by Barfoot and Thompson. They're an Auckland-based real estate agency, very, very dominant in the Auckland market. The Professionals, Harcourts, LJ Hooker, Ray White's, Bailey's, and then Remax. And it all varies in terms of the major players between about 3.6% and that 5.4%. But of course, it's quite a bit lower if you're going at the $1 million range because of those various percentages and how they're calculated.
If we start to talk about the $1 million property, Sell Assist Real Estate is still the cheapest. And again, there is that flat fee. And so it works out to be a total percentage of 0.6%. So nothing really in the grand scheme of things. Just on that topic, I've never heard of them before. Do you know how they work?
Yeah. So the way that they work is I believe it's just one guy. And what they have are two things. First of all, they've got the marketing packages and they'll market it for you. And that costs somewhere between $1,500 and $2,500 plus GST.
So that would be on Trade Me and realestate.co.nz.
Yeah, they'll print you some flyers. They'll put up a sign for you. It's really if you want to sell privately. Then you can upgrade and pay an extra $6,000 in order to be able to get that negotiator in, or this real estate agent essentially coming in, running the open homes for you. Because really, that is quite cheap, yeah, if we're talking about it. It's more for people who are very, very cost conscious.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
So they're the cheapest. And then again, of your main providers, Mike Pero, again, comes in at the cheapest being 2.91% based on, you know, the actual fee that you take out of a $1 million property. And interestingly enough, Remax and Bailey's at number 12 and 13. So Bailey's just slightly more expensive in that instance at 3.98%, a total fee of almost $40,000. And Remax, $37,490, works out to be 3.75%. Years and years ago, when I was a mortgage broker, I actually worked in a Remax office for a while. And I thought they were a relatively cost-effective option back then. I don't know whether or not they've changed their model or maybe I just misunderstood that. But really interesting. I know they've got a really strong presence in the Wellington market.
Interesting. Now, what's different about Mike Pero, though, is they charge an administration fee of about $500. Now, we're assuming that that's probably up front. And the reason I think that's quite clever is it locks you into selling because about 20% of properties don't actually end up selling. But if they're taking an upfront fee, you're kind of committed in the process.
Well, you've paid some of your money upfront and you want to see a return on investment. And the psychology behind that is if you've got some skin in the game, you're more likely to take an offer.
Exactly. So the difference on the 500K property between the main players, I'm talking Mike Pero upwards, is about $9,300. The difference between Mike Pero and Remax in that instance. On the $1 million property, it's actually not that much more. It's about 10.7K between the cheapest of the main players and then the most expensive. Previously on the show, we keep talking about that the actual real estate fee, pay less attention to that because you don't want somebody to come in and not be able to sell your property effectively and not get you the best price. But if I rephrase this a different way and say, well, can a really good real estate agent make an extra 10K for you in order to make those additional fees worth it? Or can they come in and make an extra 20 grand for you? So even if you are paying more expensive fees, that would still give you a return. And I'd probably say absolutely, especially in the Auckland market or the Wellington market, where you've got very large purchase prices anyway. And so a 2% movement in a property's purchase price can be very significant for anybody. That's where easily you'd say, yes, a very good real estate agent can make that money worth it.
And I know we've spoken in the past about that really interesting chapter in Freakonomics where they did a study of about how agents are incentivized. And let's face it, the incentive here is to get the deal done, not to necessarily get the highest price, because an extra $10,000 or $20,000 on your property doesn't make a lot of financial benefit to the real estate agent. I also know that real estate agents, you know, a good one is going to want to close the deal. And sometimes it helps just to have them make sure you're being realistic in your expectations and get this done. There was actually a model in Christchurch, a guy called Kim Franklin. He had a company called Bellamy's, and they did an hourly rate. So basically you'd pay him $250 an hour, and if it took 100 hours, you paid the same hourly rate as if it took 10. And so basically then he would do as much work as it took to get you the deal done that you wanted. And I guess at some stage you'd be kind of incentivized to go, yeah, that's my top dollar, I'll take it.
The interesting thing there is you've got a similar thing where people are committed because they're paying by the hour.
Absolutely.
But you'd also get people be looking at those timesheets very, very closely.
And you might take the first deal because you don't want to spend too much. But this is where I think our message is, don't get too fixated on the amount you're paying. Think about the value that's being added. And I know, you know, you'd look at someone like a Harcourts who have a massive network of agents across the country. You don't just have one agent working for you. You've kind of got a whole market that you're capturing.
But what you need to move to is, instead of thinking that all real estate agents are the same, we've got to hunt down the ones that are the best, because it makes sense paying an extra 10K if they really are the best. Do you know what actually happens? And you see this all the time on Facebook. Somebody will say, who's the best real estate agent you know? And people don't tag in the best real estate agent they know. They tag in their friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the trouble is that just because they're their friend and they're recommending them doesn't mean that they're actually a good real estate agent. They're doing that because they're trying to do their friend a favor and hope that they're going to make some money in that case, especially if they're a younger real estate agent. But that doesn't mean they're any good. And the real tough thing is to figure out, well, how do you find out who's good or not? And actually that probably triggers me to think, Andrew, we should do an episode on the top 10 real estate agents that we actually do stand behind.
Yeah.
Now, one question that I want to answer as well is the fact that Bayleys and Remax are more expensive for the $1 million and the $500,000 properties, does that make them better than a Barfoots or a Mike Pirro agent?
Well, I guess it's like asking whether or not an iPhone that you spend a whole lot more money on is better than a Samsung.
Well, I would say that in that case.
Well, I think so too, because I like my iPhone. But look, let's face it, they all do the same thing. It does what it says on the tin. So yes and no, but ultimately it comes down to that individual agent or that firm that you're dealing with, you know, that local franchise. You know that Adam Hazelwood of Bayleys is going to get a superior result for you than someone else somewhere else. And that's more about Adam, for example, than it is the firm.
Well, that's the interesting thing about owning a real estate firm as well. And I know that Opus has one, Opus Real Estate as well within our team. But the trouble with one of those firms is that it's about the individual agent, their work ethic, their natural ability, and the training that they've had, rather than what the firm is necessarily giving each and every one of them. And actually, the most important thing a real estate agent does is not just markets the property, but negotiates with the individual buyers that come through. That's really the key thing. But my question for you is, Andrew, is this the skill that real estate agencies are teaching to their agents? Are they really helping them negotiate better?
Look, to be honest, I think right now the market is so hot across the country that they're throwing everything against the wall. And so, you know, you'll employ someone from Harvey Norman or Noel Leeming, and you might have someone move across from another firm. Whilst some of the big companies have some really good training programs, a lot of the time, you know, they are just trying to see how many bums on seats they can get. But again, it comes down to the individual firm. You know, someone like Harcourts have a fantastic training program where they'll partner someone up against a Cam Bailey or something like that. And then people will learn from, you know, the experts in the industry as to how to negotiate.
Hey, here's one I want to talk about as well. So there's a company that's getting a bit of movement behind them. They've been around for a little while, but are new to the market. Aristo is the company. Now, this is run by a guy called Pernell Callahan, who I actually went to school with. We were pretty good friends and, you know, lived in the same house for a wee while. So after school finished, I came up to Auckland in order to start university, and I was living with Pernell for a while. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Now, a couple of years earlier, Don Ha, a well-known real estate agent in Auckland, had come to school at Dilworth School and given a presentation. And Don Ha said, now, if any of you want a job at the end of your schooling, call me up and I will make you a millionaire. Now, the funny thing was neither Pernell or I or Ezra, who were there, were actually at that dinner. We didn't see the presentation, but we all heard about it. And so Pernell was saying, well, what should I do? And we said, email him, email Don Ha, get a job. And so he emails him. He hears nothing back, doesn't hear anything back. And then Ezra and I say, you should call him up. You've got to follow this up. So he calls up. Hello, Mr. Don Ha, it's Pernell Callahan here. I emailed you. You talked at the school. I wasn't there, but I'd like to take you up on that offer. And he says, Pernell, I've been waiting to hear from you. I've been waiting for your call. The next day, goes to see Don Ha, ends up becoming his apprentice and becomes one of the top real estate agents in all of Australasia, and now runs this company with 43 different agents, and he's probably 28. He's doing excellent and for himself.
This just goes to show that it depends on who you paired up with in that kind of recruiting stage. One of my friends is actually in Auckland at the moment, and he's being paired up in one of the big Ray White offices with one of the expert agents there, and that will change his life.
The key thing that I want to... Let's talk about Aristo, the company now. They've recently upped their fees, but they're now a flat fee no matter what the property sells for, 10K plus GST. That's gone up. It used to be 7.5K plus GST, I think, but certainly still one of the lower fee providers out there. They've grown really quickly, a total of 43 real estate agents right around the country, which is not bad for a firm which is probably only about 2 or 3 years old. And his big idea, Pernell, was that he wanted to make real estate agents much more efficient. So he's built some software. They've got an in-house videographer and designer and all of these things. So all the real estate agents have to do is sell, rather than having to organize a whole heap of other things. And that's how he was trying get the fee down. The idea is that if he could get them to sell more properties and not have them out prospecting, looking for more listings, because the low fee is attractive and attracts people who want to sell their properties, they could sell more and make the same amount of money.
We should get him on the show.
Oh, hit them up, actually, if you think that's a good idea. So that might be a firm that you might want to check out as well, even though in the past, we haven't been the biggest fan of low-fee providers. One other thing that I want to talk about, Andrew, and get your opinion on, is marketing and advertising fees, because you're not just going to pay the commission, you're also going to pay other costs on top of that.
So this is interesting timing. One of my friends in Christchurch is actually selling one of his rental properties, and he is going with one of the lower fee providers, somewhere in the mid-range. And so I've said to him, you know, because this provider doesn't have as much of a marketing presence as a Harcourts, for example, you need to be really strong on the marketing yourself. So get professional photos, get a video done of the property so that you can sell the property to people outside of Christchurch who can get a really good feel for the property without actually having to view it. Get a floor plan done, which is actually something that we do by default with our real estate agents there. I think it's a really good, useful tool to have on the listing. Use the Trade Me listings and all those kind of things, boost on Facebook. One thing that we've left off this list here is the staging. I think staging is the best money you can spend when you sell a property that's empty. It just helps someone really feel how a property can be laid out. And a stager can do all sorts of things with a property to make it look better.
And you might allocate $2,000 to $3,000 for that marketing package in order to be able to get that better result. For staging, it's probably around, I think, the $2,000-$3,000 mark that we've talked about in the past. Now, some interesting stats for you as well. I've got a good friend, Jen Liu, from Blade Scenes in Auckland. They're the largest provider of real estate marketing videos. They basically do them all in Auckland. And she shared some stats when I called her up today. She said, if you've got a floor plan that's been professionally done on your Trade Me listing, you're going to get something like 2.2 times the listing views than if you didn't have one.
That's amazing.
And if you get a professional marketing video done, you're going to get about 2.4 times the listing views compared to if you didn't have that marketing video. Now, that's obviously in part because you're running traffic towards it. You're able to put that video on Facebook and some things like that.
But all you've got to do is reach one more person that's prepared to spend 20, 30 grand more, and you've made your money back.
Yeah, now you can't exactly track the fact that, oh, I made a video, so then I got $5,000 extra out of the end because I spent $1,000 on the video. You can't tell that.
There's no baseline, right?
No, but if you're getting more than twice the number of views on your listings, you're probably doing quite well, whether that's your investment property or your owner-occupier home. Now, one question that a lot of people think is, never pay the advertising and marketing fees. You pay so much in commission, why would you do that? Make them pay for it. And I think it's really important to, I suppose, look at the other side and say, well, why is it that real estate agents don't pay the marketing fees? And for any standard real estate agent, if you're not necessarily the top, you might have 5 or 10 listings at any one time. Well, if you're paying $3,000 in marketing costs, that real estate agent is up for somewhere between $15,000 and $30,000 worth of marketing costs at any one time. And if you're a commission-only salesperson, putting that money up front first, it just doesn't fit with the economics of it.
Absolutely. I remember talking to Mickey, friend of the show and friend of mine, just the other day, and he was talking about the fact that people try and skimp and save on the marketing. You only get one chance to sell. Get the absolute best dollar you can get out of that property. And I think his analogy he used was, is the Big Mac the best burger in the world? The answer is no, but it's the most sold. And that comes down to marketing.
Yeah, one of the trouble with real estate agents, though, is they've got great lies.
They've got lies for everything.
And one thing I would say about Mickey in particular is he has got a great line and a great he's got a great answer for every sort of question like this that you would ask. But just digging deeper into that advertising side, we said earlier about 1/5 of properties don't end up selling. And that might be because owners change their minds or there aren't enough offers. There might be issues with a building report and so a property gets pulled from the market. And even speaking of divorce, because we've talked about it recently, divorcing couples sometimes get back together and decide to pull that property off the market. So a real estate agent can't necessarily make that commitment if they've got 10 listings at any one time for those listings that don't end up selling. The economics of that doesn't work. Now, hey, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And if you've got a topic that you'd like Andrew and I to talk about, send us a text. Our number is 5522. It'd be great to hear from you. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Epic Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.